take your Bibles, please. And I forget which side I'm throwing that on. Book of Proverbs, chapter... Let me see here. I got to figure out where we left off. Chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Of course, on Wednesday night is our Bible study. And we have been in the book of Proverbs for many, many, many weeks. And I'm not teaching line upon line and what some would call exegeting. Teaching topic by topic through Proverbs. We taught what Proverbs were. We taught characteristics of wise people, characteristics of fools. Now we've been going through the topic of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And let me start by saying this. We live in a foolish world today. A world that calls right wrong and wrong right. A world that we have the freedom to do what we want unless it's against something that we don't want. We live in a world that murders 65 million babies by abortion legally in America, but we let booze flow like a river. We live in a world that thinks education is science, but evolution breaks every law of science. We live in a world of the global climate change alarmists and the green earth movement, and yet they make straws illegal. You know, it's amazing how messed up our world is. We live in a world that can tell you how to gender an animal, but they don't know what bathroom to use. We live in a pretty foolish world.
Yes, sir. And I'm
just old-fashioned enough to believe what that book says. Amen. Right is right, wrong is wrong. God hadn't changed. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. God doesn't speak verbally anymore. You say, why? Because he gave us the complete word of God.
Amen.
Doesn't speak in dreams and visions anymore because we have the complete word of God. He doesn't need to do those things anymore. Those were done away with at Calvary and at the completion of the Word of God. So, as you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll see the word wisdom used many times. I have given you already 19 different places, and tonight we'll plow through several more. And I'm excited just to give you principle by principle what God says. You know, somebody used to say it this way, the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God.
That's good.
Say, preacher, what commentaries do you use? The King James Bible.
Amen.
Well, what helps do you use? The King James Bible. I do have a Cruden's Concordance. I have a Strong's Concordance. I use those more for reference than anything. You say, well, I do have an interlinear Greek New Testament. I have a Greek lexicon. And may I say this, the King James Bible is as close in the English language as any Hebrew or Greek text can be. Plain and simple. I'll preach on it one of these days, but you, us rednecks don't need to know all the Greek and Hebrew anyway. As long as you know the guy that's got the restaurant, you can eat all the Greek you want. Amen? That's about the only Greek you need to know. And it's really not that complicated, but I do want to help you tonight. Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Now, here's the principle, and then I'm going to teach you about it. Wisdom flows from wise people. Wisdom flows from wise people. Notice, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Can I tell you something? Did you know water that doesn't move gets stagnant? Gets stinky, gets kind of worthless. Even groundwater, where you would have a well, that water is usually constantly moving down there. It's like a river underground. It has a little bit of flow to it. It's what keeps it from getting stagnant or dirty. Plus, it's been filtered and other things, and it filters as it comes back up through. But water that is, we've had enough flood water around here. Go out by the edge of the woods, off the edge of the road somewhere, and find all the nasty water laying there. Stinks, full of bugs, skeeters and fleas and flies and dead critters and everything else. And it just gets nasty. The Bible says that wisdom flows. It's like a wellspring. That means it's gushing, it's moving, it's flowing of wisdom. Can I tell you something? I'm going to make a statement here. Now, listen carefully. Study or meditate on the depth of what wise people say, not intelligent people. There's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. Anybody catch that? I know some intelligent people that aren't very wise. They're sitting in D.C. right now. They say they're smart, but they don't have much sense. You know, if those are the 535 smartest people in our country, God help us. Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Chucky Schumer and some of these idiots out there, Lord have mercy on our country if those are the smartest people in the world. I don't mean this unkindly. I got more sense in that little finger than most of that crowd has anywhere. And I'm not the most intelligent person in the world. I know that. Study or meditate the depth of what wise people say. There's an old preacher, Brother Lester Roloff. Brother Roloff was just an old country Texas boy. But if you ever listen to Lester Roloff, some of the depth of what he says is amazing. I was listening to him the other day. I wrote something down. Hang on. I want to quote it. We all go through the valleys of life, but we don't need to build a house there.
Right.
He said, every Christian's going to go through a valley, but that doesn't mean you stop and build a house there. He said, get through the valley. Can I tell you something? That's wise. You think about how wise that... Now, that may not be real intelligent, but it's pretty wise. See, wisdom, you gotta study wisdom differently. Wisdom, wise counsel, is refreshing for those who partake like cold water to a thirsty person. When you don't know what to do and you get wise advice, it helps. I'm going to tell on myself. I was shooting my bow yesterday, getting ready for bow season. I've been bow hunting for 25 years. I've shot untold thousands and thousands and thousands of arrows. I was shooting at 20 yards. I shot three shots, and two of the arrows crisscrossed and hit each other, and they were shaft on shaft. So I moved after I had done that and shot two more over here because I was shooting groups of five. So I went from 20 yards to 40 yards, threw my arrows down, started picking them up one at a time. I shot two at 40 yards, and I was about that far apart on each one of them. I put the third arrow in there, and I pulled back, and when I let go of my quick release, the whole world let go. The god-awful was cracking, slapping, and my hand felt like somebody beat me with a sledgehammer, and then just smacked it again to make sure I got hit. And I'm thinking, oh, what happened? And I looked, and my string is all torn apart. It didn't break in two, but it was all frayed and torn up. I thought, what's going on? And I couldn't find the arrow. It was nowhere. I found out that the arrow had actually exploded as I let go. Well, I looked for a little bit. My blood's dripping out of my hand, and my hand's throbbing. I finally took the stuff inside. I looked for a little bit and went inside. I said, I gotta clean this up. And I told my wife, I said, of course, me being colorblind, it's not real easy finding arrows. Black and green and red arrows on the green grass. I can't see it, all right? So I said, can you come help me look for this arrow, because I don't want it laying around for the animals and everybody in the yard. So she said, yeah. She said, you all right? I said, I'll be fine. So went out there, and I went back to where I was standing, and I found two pieces of my arrow about that long, the back end of the arrow, just exploded, carbon arrows. We looked and 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 looked, couldn't find the rest of the arrow, which is about that long. It doesn't have a sharp tip, it's just got field points on it. And I went back out later, still couldn't find it, but I went to... I said, I'm not pulling that thing again. I said, it tore the peep sight off. It tore the string, outside string, tore the inner strings, shredded it. I mean, there's pieces of string like this hanging off of it, and I'm not pulling that thing. So I went to Dick's, and they don't work on them anymore. And I said, but what happened? He said, I don't know. I never saw anything like this. He said, it must have been the arrow. He said, obviously the string didn't get you. He said, it had to be that arrow. So I went to another place and walked in and showed the guy. He was like, okay. And these guys are professionals at archery. He said, you must have nicked that arrow or hit that arrow, and it was cracked somehow. And he said, there's so much force on that arrow from the release of that string. He said, a carbon arrow actually bends and compresses at release. He said, it was cracked just enough that when it did, it shattered. He said, and that's the only thing I can think of. He said, but in all my years, I've never seen it. I said, well, you have now. I pulled out my phone and showed him the previous three shots and where they were like this. He said, yep, that'll do it. Can I tell you something? It took wise advice before it calmed me down. It's going to take me a week to get my bow restrung and $125. Expensive shot, let me tell you. Somebody asked me recently, they said, are you going to be afraid to pull that string? Nope. Say why? Because I know it's going to be tested and tried before I ever do it. Now, I'll promise you one thing. If I ever have arrow and arrow, I'm checking them out. We're not going through that again. Once was enough. Wise counsel refreshes. When I found out, I told my wife, not much shakes me, but it shook me up a little bit. I was glad I wasn't shooting aluminum shaft arrows, or I'd had it stuck all the way through my hand. I mean, it was not a healthy situation. The Lord protects fools and drunks, and wise counsel, though, when I found out what happened and I could get through it, I was okay. You say, which one are you, preacher? You choose, all right? Wise counsel flows from wise people. They don't need to work at it. Of course, yesterday was day off, and I was doing some things. I got a text from an assistant pastor in a different state. He said, Brother Bush, and asked me a long question. I answered him back, and it prompted another question. And I said, Doc, just call me. I said, this text and stuff isn't going to fix your problem. So he called me, and I spent about 15 minutes on the phone with him trying to help get him through a problem. I had a pastor last week. I had talked to him previously about a problem, and then he contacted me again. He was dealing with another part of the situation, but something kind of complicated in it, and he needed help. Say, I didn't have to sit there and wonder what to tell him. I've been through it time and time and time again. I'm not the wisest person in the world. I've just been down the road farther than some. And when you've been down the road farther than some, it pays to get some good advice. I got to hurry here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. I'm going to hurry through some of these. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 8. This one's going to sound funny to some of you. Proverbs 19:8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. Now, don't take this the wrong way, and let me explain it before you crucify me. Wise people learn to like themselves. Wise people learn to like themselves. Notice what it says. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. What is your soul? Your soul is that ability to communicate with people. That is me conversing with you right now or preaching to you right now. That is my soul working with your soul. Now, it's my spirit as well. But my soul is that which allows me to communicate with other humans. My spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. And you have to understand something. Wise people learn to like themselves. Do you know I like my humor most of the time? My wife doesn't like it as much as I do, but I like it. That doesn't mean they're satisfied with all that they do. But they can get along with themselves. You know, I can ride me hard, but in general, I generally like my personality. I've tried to work it out to where I can get along with most anybody. I don't always enjoy everybody I get along with, but I can get along with them. I enjoy the life God has given me. You know, I don't want to live your life. Fred, I don't want to live your life because it's almost over. I don't want to live it. Brother Harry, you saw that coming, didn't you? I have no desire to live somebody else's life. Do you know, I don't wish I was 25 years old again. Lord have mercy. I've lived a lot of life since that was over half a life ago. I don't want to go through some of those things again. I'm talking to Brother Harold back here, and at 25, I was in Southern California during the Rodney King riots. I don't want to go through that again. No desire. There are things I've been... I don't want to rear kids again, amen? Three strikes, you're out. Done. House is empty. I'm happy, man. There are some things you just don't want to do again. Now, I wish I knew as much then as I know now, then I'd never had kids. I've learned to love the life that I have. I've learned to enjoy the life that I have. I don't want what somebody else has. I don't want what you have. I don't care if you want what I have. I've learned to enjoy the life God has given me. This was Sunday night. This is Wednesday. Sunday night, I got a text from somebody I know in a different state. And they showed me a picture of a middle-aged lady. And I thought, they said, guess who this is? I thought, yeah, right. Do you know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people I've met, and you want me to pick one out? And then a little while later, the text came of the person's name, and I went, oh, I haven't seen that person in over 20 years. They were a teenager in my youth department in Charleston, South Carolina. She's now married, has three children, and she's married to an evangelist. And they've been in the ministry full-time for years. Well, I haven't heard nor seen from her in 22 years, literally. You think I'm going to notice somebody was a teenager and now in their late 30s? Mm-mm. But what a blessing it was to see that somebody that we had invested in 25 years ago is still serving the Lord.
That's good.
My wife apparently sent a picture of us or our family or something, and my wife shared the text back that she got from her, and it said, y'all still look the same. I thought, yeah, your eyes are getting bad too. Y'all are still the same. You know, I'm glad that's how some of my old teenagers look at us. Real old teenagers now. Scary to think. They got teenagers. Wise people find the good in all situations of life that come. I enjoy living the life I live. It doesn't mean I enjoy every event that comes. I don't enjoy the phone calls, Miss Martha Fell. I don't enjoy the phone calls, Mom needs major, major, major surgery and could lose her leg. I don't enjoy the phone calls from Susan Stoltz a couple months ago, Brother Bush. I don't even know how to tell you this, but Rich was taking a shower and fell over dead with a heart attack in the shower. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy those phone calls. You think I enjoyed doing his funeral? No. But I enjoy serving God. I enjoy being in the will of God. And we can learn from it and make the best of what we have. Wise people learn to enjoy their faith. Brother Harry, I have been saved for 46, almost 47 years. Do you know what? I'm as excited about being saved now as I was when I was 4 or 5 years old. Matter of fact, I'm more, because I know how much sin and how much it really means now. If I ever get over being saved, I just want to die. You say, why? Because I don't ever want to get over it. I watch too many people get over being saved and they're miserable Christians. Wise people learn how not to change their position, but they adjust their disposition. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. If my disposition is offensive, I'll work at it. But I'm not changing what the Bible says. We're not going to change that salvation is by grace through faith and that alone.
Right.
We're not going to change on the King James Bible. We're not going to change on what God said.
Amen.
And it's not just inspired in the originals. It still is inspired because he's the I am God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not changing any of that. I was out at the property today and one of the plumbers was down in the gravel putting pipe together. And he looked at me and said, "What kind of church is it?" I said, "Independent, old-fashioned, fundamental Baptist." I said, "I'm not for the modern way, no modern junk." I said, "We got the old-fashioned music, old-fashioned ways, and I'm an old-fashioned preacher." And there's an old feller out there working with him. He looked at me and said, "Not many of you left it anymore, is there?" I said, "Nope, but you just met one, and we're building." He said, "I think I'm going to have to come see what you are." I said, "Come on." I said, "Door's open. Matter of fact, I don't even have a door right now." He laughed. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not changing my position. I'm not going to change the message. I preached a whole sermon a few years ago. I'm thinking about resurrecting it. Did you ever notice when Jesus went fishing, they took nets, not lines?
Yeah.
When you throw a net, you catch everything. Doesn't matter what size, what color, what kind. We got preachers nowadays, they're throwing lures in and trying to catch the rich ones. They're angling. They're not fishing. Just throw the nets out. Let's get them all.
Yes, sir.
I don't care who they are, what they are. I don't care if they have a wallet in their pocket or don't care if they stole from their neighbor. You say, why? Because we'll teach them not to steal and get it right with their neighbor. I don't care. I don't care if they're red, green, purple, black, chartreuse, white, yellow. It doesn't matter to me. You know, nobody's soul or spirit has a color, and I don't give a rip. Everybody doing all right? Mm-hmm. We're going to bring snotty-nosed little bus kids in.
Yep.
Spanish ones, white ones, black ones, and whatever color they come in. I don't care.
Amen.
I already told you this. I'm going to be the first one to write on the bathroom walls. That way you don't blame the bus kids. I'm all right. Preacher was here. Now, I might have my wife write in the ladies' room. All right? I'm not sure I'm going in there. But, I'd say Mrs. Preacher was here, but you say why? Because the church is a building. It is a tool to reach people. It's not the sanctuary. God lives here, not in a building.
Right.
Them poor little kids are just as in need of the gospel as you and I are.
Yes, sir.
Some of those poor little kids could grow up and be the next Jack Hiles,
yeah.
Next Billy Sunday, next J. Frank Norris. We don't know what they're going to be. I got an email, I think yesterday or Monday, from a couple that my wife and I won to the Lord in our Sunday school class years and years and years and years ago down in South Carolina. They're now missionaries in Costa Rica. Their daughter is now raising support to go on the mission field. I remember winning both of them to the Lord and baptizing them. You don't know who you're going to reach. Everybody doing all right? The young lady that made contact with my wife and I from South Carolina, she happened to be a black young lady, married to a black preacher from Gary, Indiana. He's an evangelist. Thank God, somebody preaching right doctrine.
Amen.
I don't care. Everybody doing all right? Wise people don't change their position. Now, if my disposition bothers you, I'll work at it. I'll try not to be offensive. Try. Wise people understand that every asset has a liability attached. You know that... I know this is going to be hard. Everybody get ready. Did you know I happen to be a little stubborn? I know that's hard for you to believe. And I'll be honest with you, I've worked at it a little bit. And I've decided... Brother Hiles used to say, I roll myself into surgery and look at myself and say... You know, you're a little too stubborn. But you know, if you give up that stubbornness, that hard stand on right is going to go with it. So if you're not careful, you're going to change so much that you change everything that you are. You can fix your personality. You can fix bad character. You don't fix position. Position stays the same. So you might have to put up with the stubbornness to get the fact that we're seeing people saved and visitors every week. And that there's going to be hard preaching. I'm going to pound that pulpit, and I'm glad I hit it with that hand and not the one I hit with the arrow. Say, what is that? Because if I change that, what else is going to change? Change is an actual position. And when you start seeing churches and preachers change, it's a slippery slope. Promise you. Well, we're only going to change this. They've changed the word change to improve. We're going to improve on. Did you know you can't improve on God?
That's right.
Well, soul winning has become obsolete. It has become offensive. So we're not going to actually knock on people's doors and confront them with the gospel. We'll just pass things out. Well, bless God, I'll put a track in a door if they're not home. That's how he came. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to knock on his door and try to get him first time.
There you go.
You know how many doors that hand has knocked on? That hand's knocked on more doors than most people in this room have ever seen. Say, why does God bless? Because he said, go house to house, door to door, every creature. Preach the gospel. And that's what we do. All right, I got to hurry up here. Good night. Brother Barnes, why are you slowing me down tonight? Proverbs chapter 21. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 21. Look at verse number 30. The Bible says there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Now, hang on here. There is no wisdom contrary to God in his word.
That's right.
There is no wisdom contrary to God and his word. By the way, that's why I'm against people changing what the word of God says. Mm. We don't need different versions. We just need the same God in the same old version.
Amen.
Different versions are man interpreting God. God said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and no human can better say what God once said.
You're right.
Period. How do you improve on God? Wisdom is not a matter of sincerity, it is a matter of principle. Well, they were sincere. You can be sincerely wrong.
That's right.
You know, there are people that are... that'll walk into a place called church. They'll light candles. They'll kneel. They'll pray through a rosary. They'll give money. They'll go to the confessional booth. They'll talk to the guy with $500,000 grapefruit on his head. They call him father and he dresses like mama. They're sincere, but they'll sincerely die and go to hell with that kind of doctrine. Not because of the name on the sign, but because of the doctrine. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Wisdom is not a matter of sincerity. In the book of Acts, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That means he was that close to dying and going to heaven, but probably died and went to hell. Wisdom is not a matter of how you feel or how you like things. It is a matter of what does God say. There are some things I preach that I don't like to preach. But it's not mine to decide, it's God's. I'd be glad not to preach on hell. But I have to. It's in the Bible. You been doing all right? I'd be glad to not have to preach as hard as I preach against sin. But guess what? God said, as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, and we live in those days.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Is somebody out there? I bet we probably ought to shut that door. Wisdom is not a matter of how you feel or how you like it. Wisdom is a matter of what does God say is best. My Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Why do we have churches trying to look like the world?
Amen.
Now the church is more worldly than the world was 30 and 40 years ago. Plain and simple. Well, you met one that's not changing God's word. We're not going to do it. Wisdom is based on what God said. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not our church, it's his church. We're not to do it our way, we're to do it his way. God didn't say go into all the world and take a survey.
You're right.
He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. God knows you're the trackingest people I've ever seen in my life. We've gone through about 122,000, 125,000 gospel tracts in 6 years. And thank God for every last one of them because it's got the gospel on it.
Amen.
But can I tell you something? Just passing out those alone isn't enough. People need the gospel. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
the intelligentsia, but unwise believe evolution and global warming doesn't mean that they're right. Folks, you didn't come from a monkey.
You're right.
It's impossible. Blood doesn't match. If you came from a monkey, you should be able to get a transfusion from a monkey or vice versa, and you can't do it. Just like you can't take blood from a cow and put it in a horse. We're different kind. And if you go to Genesis chapter 1, God said he made every animal after its own kind. Man did not come through evolution.
Right.
Evolution didn't come about till the 1860s. And that was so they could explain God away so that they could bring communism in. Evolution and communism and socialism work hand in hand. Do your research. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I got one more I want to give, and then we'll quit for the night. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse number 9. Maybe I'll hurry through this one and get to another one. Verse number 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Don't waste wisdom. Don't waste wisdom. Notice God says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Wisdom opposes foolishness. Let me remind you. Book of Proverbs talks about four different kinds of people. You have the simple person. The simple person doesn't understand right from wrong as much. For instance, little Wyatt here is 5 years old. Man, you're getting old. He's 5 years old. He's simple. He's not as complicated as us adults. He hadn't lived enough life to be so complicated. So give me enough time, I could convince him something that wasn't was. Say why? Because he's simple. But then you have someone who is a wise person. That's a person that knows what's right, does what's right, when it's right, with the right people, at the right time. Then you have the fool. The fool wants to be his own authority. He knows what's right and wrong and chooses to do whatever he wants. Then you have the scorner who questions the authority all the time and then decides whether he'll do right or not. Those are the four people. The Bible says, speak not in the ears of a fool. Now listen to me. Wisdom opposes foolishness because fools want to be their own God or be their own authority. Now, talking to a fool will not change a fool. Debating fools does no good.
You're right.
You know, if some atheist calls me and says he wants to do a public debate, I'm going to tell him no. Say why? Because it's not going to change anything. I am not going to change him. When I go soul winning, I don't argue with people. I'll run up against Jehovah's false witnesses or the Mormons or somebody like that believes bad doctrine. And I'll simply say, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is God in the flesh? If they say no, I give them a gospel tract and say, here, read this. This can tell you how to go to heaven. Have a great day. I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. I'm obviously not going to change you, and you're not going to change me. Could I debate them for a couple hours? Used to love to do it. But I wonder how many people died and went to hell because I did that and didn't knock on their door. Jesus said, if they won't agree on that, shake the dust off your shoes and go find somebody to listen to you. I'm just obeying what God said do. Talking to a fool won't change a fool. God tells us not to cast pearls before swine. You don't go feed the hogs dressed for with your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. It's foolish for wise people to waste wisdom on a fool. Oh, there's so much I want to say right there, but can I tell you something?
Some of you enjoy the exhilaration of arguing with somebody.
Can I tell you something? My Bible says, speak not in the ears of a fool. Some of you argue and argue and argue and argue, and you just love the sense of argument. And you're fairly intelligent, and you enjoy turning people's tails. But what good does it do? You never change them. Now, if you got somebody stubborn like Fred, he just doesn't understand the truth, and it takes me forever, and he almost died three times before he gets saved, it wasn't the fact that he was a fool. He just couldn't quite get it. He wasn't rejecting it. It just wasn't clicking yet. Thank God it clicked. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my soul. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 1. I'm going to go over just a couple minutes, but here we go. Proverbs 24, verse number 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wise people have strong and decent homes. Wise people have strong and decent homes. Wise people are going to monitor what comes into their home. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, be careful what you watch on the TV or what movies you bring into your home. There is so much evil forces, satanic forces, available to our children today. It's not even funny. And most of it's in comic form. I'm going to get in trouble here. It's okay. Most of your Marvel comic junk is nothing but Satanism. It's where do they get their power? And they do wrong to do right? Breaking the law to help more people? Superpowers? Where does the superpower come from? Be careful what music we bring into our homes. Bringing, good night, the filthy music of today. The Hollywood industry of today. Oh, my soul. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The pro sports athletes of today. 2 years ago, I decided I wasn't going to watch pro football anymore when they started protesting the flag and got political with it. I have not watched a pro football game since and don't plan on it. They can whine and complain, but they've made their tens of millions of dollars because of the United States of America, and how dare you take a knee? What statement are you protesting anyway? Somebody sent me a little humorous thing. It was a picture of the Supreme Court justices that voted that it was okay to not have to stand. And they said, I wonder if they would have, wonder what they would do if everybody, when they walked in the courtroom and the guy said, would you all rise if everybody took a knee? Love it. Love it. Folks, what happened to good old-fashioned red, white, and blue America? I am so sick and tired of the labels. Well, I'm German-American. I'm African-American. I'm Puerto Rican-American. I'm Mexican-American. How about you just be an American? That's why we're called the melting pot. Okay? Well, everybody came here from somewhere else. Don't you think that's the way all over the world? And please don't take this unkindly, but why are we holding things against our country that were done inappropriately 250, 300 years ago? Everybody doing okay? Pro athletes, be careful letting your kids have pro athletes as their hero. Serena Williams is an idiot. I got to hurry up here. Wise people carefully plan their house. They carefully plan their home. Be wise financially for your family's sake. Plan it. Plan time with your family. Plan balance in your family. My family's balanced. I got my bubble in the middle, amen? you know, let's be wise. I know preachers, all they do is live for their family. Well, this is my family. My church is my family. We're all brothers and sisters. But I know preachers spend more time on their own children and their wife than they do their church. And I think that's wrong. But I also know preachers that don't spend any time with their kids and any time with their wife. And that's just as wrong. Everybody doing okay? Balance. Wise people try to stay fit.
They try to have a good diet. I was looking in the mirror right there, just so you know. I got a few pounds to get rid of, too. They try to keep themselves as fit and as healthy as they can. They try to keep up with their diet. They try to keep up with their health and not carry things they shouldn't carry and fall on the ground, Miss Kathy. you know, they... men, this one's going to hurt. They go get their health checked at the doctor on a regular basis. You know, my goal is to be strong and healthy as long as I can. See, well, I don't want to go. Last time I went, I didn't like what the doctor said. So, just because he's going to tell you you're too fat and you got to change what you do doesn't mean you have to hate the guy. Yeah, have a stroke, right, Greg? Yeah, let's not have any more strokes. All right? I like giving them. I don't like getting them. Amen? I was glad before I went on my hunt last year that I went to the doctor and had checked out. My heart was healthy. She told me my heart was... Is it EKG? Yeah, the EEG is the one in the head. That's the one Joe's flatlined on. but my EKG, she said, I have never seen one so perfect in my whole life. She said, it looks like it came right out of a textbook. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but don't change it. I said, good. I keep up with it. You say, why? Because wise people decide they're going to stay healthy as long as they can to help as many people as they can. I plan on pastoring church till the day I die. Now, I have some people that wish that was last week. But I plan on doing it a long time. And may I say this, I want to be as healthy as I can all the way through. Boy, that's good stuff. You need to stay mentally fit. You need to stay spiritually fit. You see, a wise person wants to be as fit as possible at whatever they are and at whatever level they are so as to be able to be helpful. I learned a long time ago, Brother Harry, I'm not invincible. At 50 years old, I don't do what I did at 25 years old. I may still do it, but it's going to take longer and I'm going to do it a different way. Some things I'm just not going to do anymore. You say, why? Because at my age, don't need to be doing them. There comes a wisdom. I realize I'm not 25 years old anymore. I'm twice that. Plus, my son, Jeff, he works in prison in Lexington. He's a corrections officer there in Lexington. He called us Sunday night after church. He said, oh, Dad, it was a good week. He said, I caught a guy in the bathroom doing drugs. Had to chase him down. He said, I got to pepper spray him. He said, OC spray is great. I said, you didn't think it was so great when it was coming at you. He said, yeah, but when you do it to somebody else, it's better. I said, but isn't it residual? He said, oh, the residual doesn't hurt because the rush is okay. He said, I got him doing drugs. He said, that's the third drug bust I've had. He's loving it. I said, you're an idiot. At 50 years old, you don't find the exhilaration in that. Now, at 25, 23, whatever he is, yeah, I can see that, but I don't want to tackle those guys. That's not in my line of, this is one of those things I want to do in life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, one of those things, you know you're getting old. When your garage door goes up and down on its own, you realize it was your pacemaker that did it. you know you're getting old when the old lady you helped across the street was your wife. uh,
I wasn't looking at anybody, all right? Can I tell you something? That was pretty good, wasn't it, Fred? Trouble is, she had to help you across the street. Oh, that's funny. Can I tell you something? Wise people keep themselves strong. They plan their families. They have decent families. Doesn't mean your family's perfect. I know very wise people whose children turned out pretty awful bad. You know, after your children leave your home, you're not accountable for how they turn out. Think of it this way and I'll be done. God is perfect. God is our Father. Do you know out of the billions and billions and billions and billions of children that he's had on the face of the earth, people on the earth, do you know he only ever had one that was perfect? And if a perfect God could only have one perfect child and billions of bad ones, what chance do imperfect, sinful parents have? Before we judge parents because of the way their adult children are, how about we just shut our mouth and say, everybody has a right to choose. Everybody doing okay? Man, I love saying that. I'll finish next week on topic of wisdom. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Let's decide not to follow the foolishness of the world. Let's decide not to be like the world. Let's follow God and His word as God said it.